Welcome to CICK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CICK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CICK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CICK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CICK News, the Federal Standing Committee on Environment and Sustainable Development passed a motion last week to urge the federal Liberal government to help establish a $1 billion watershed security fund for British Columbia. MP for Skeena-Buckley Valley, Taylor Bacharach, tabled the motion during committee meetings earlier this month to much debate. But in the end, the committee passed the motion specifically calling on the federal government to contribute matching funds already put up by the province of BC to the tune of $400 million, four from the feds and four from the province of BC, as well as the BC Wildlife Federation would raise the remaining $200 million through private donations. Here's Bacharach moving the motion in committee.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And at the last meeting, I moved the motion that had been put on notice, and perhaps I'll start by just repeating it for folks who are watching, that given the importance of freshwater ecosystem services to the prosperity, sustainability, and resilience of British Columbian communities, and given the increasingly severe impacts of climate change, including drought, wildfires, and floods, that the committee urged the federal government to work with the government of British Columbia to establish a $1 billion watershed security fund, that the committee report this to the House, and that the government table a written response. Now, this stemmed from some really compelling testimony that we had from Mr. Zeman, the executive director of the BC Wildlife Federation. And he talked to the committee about how his organization has been working in partnership with First Nations and landowners on hundreds of watershed restoration projects across the province. And I think it's some really exciting work. This uses the term watershed security, and maybe the best place to start is by talking about what this concept of watershed security is. What we're talking about when we say watershed security is really rebuilding the natural defenses of our watersheds. We know that there's so much literature out there on the importance of natural infrastructure. And we know that natural systems are some of our best defenses against climate change and the extreme weather that we've been seeing more and more. So watershed security is really about rebuilding those natural defenses, bolstering collaborative monitoring, so engaging communities and First Nations in data collection and going out on the land and in the watersheds and observing what's happening so that we are better informed and better able to respond when things change. And strengthening watershed governance in partnership with the province's First Nations and local governments. And in British Columbia, there's been a long history of this work, and the opportunity right now is really to bring some significant resources to bear so that the organizations and communities that want to do this work are supported by the federal government. This is has huge potential for job creation. We're talking about the potential for thousands and thousands of well-paid jobs in communities. Some of this work is already taking place. And we know that the cost of not doing this is also very significant. In British Columbia, people are well aware of the devastating impacts of wildfires over the past number of years, of flooding, the atmospheric river that hit in the Lower Mainland and caused extensive damage. We do have the potential to mitigate these effects if we act swiftly and if we put in place the structures that are required to bolster natural infrastructure and make sure that our watersheds are resilient And of course, in British Columbia, top of mind for many folks is the health of wild salmon stocks. And this work around resilience and around building watershed security also has the benefit of protecting and enhancing our wild salmon that are so important to our economy and to First Nations. So that really gets to the heart of what this motion is about. Now, the government of BC has already invested over $100 million in watershed security. And the potential here is to build that into a billion-dollar fund, not with the federal government contributing the balance, but with a sizable matching contribution from the federal government, increased contributions from the provincial government, and the leveraging of private investment as well, so that together these three parties could put together the funds to really sustain this work into the future. I know this is an initiative that the BC government is very excited about. First Nations are very excited about. And, you know, when we talk about climate change and when we talk about securing watersheds, it's relatively rare that we get such broad support from across all of the different sectors, from across different governments, from across the political spectrum. And so when we see that kind of alignment, I think it really behooves us to get behind those efforts and to support them with significant resources. So that's why I'm excited about this. It's why I brought forward the motion in the after Mr. Zeman's testimony before the committee. I know we're going to have other witnesses that appear before this committee on this study, and we did hear from Watersheds BC at our last meeting. I know, unfortunately, the witness's testimony was cut short, and I wasn't able to ask the questions that I wanted to ask of the witness, but hopefully the presentation that she made had an impact on the committee. And hopefully we'll hear from more folks from my home province who are passionate about this work. And my hope today is that we can debate this motion and hopefully pass it so that the government can know that the committee supports moving forward with this vision. I think it's a really positive vision. I think it could have a tremendous impact on the province of British Columbia and the watersheds that sustain our communities. So, Mr. Chair, I'll leave it at that for now, and perhaps I can offer some more thoughts later in the debate.
Do you see this?
Because it might not be enough. It might be too much. I don't know.
As a friendly amendment, Mr. Backer? Okay.
As sorry, and I'm not Mr. Longfield.
Well, now we
is,
go and debate and the $1 billion.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to put spokes in or a stick
we,
in your
we debate
spokes,
the just, $1 billion now. Okay. So, anyone want to talk about $1 billion? Yes, Mr. Bacharach.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and through you to Mr. Longfield. Indeed, it might not be enough, and I think the hope would be that it would grow beyond $1 billion because the need is so great. If you look at some of the watersheds that have been impacted in British Columbia and need restoration, especially the Fraser, which is the largest river system in our province, you know, it's seen tremendous development impacts over many, many years, and also natural impacts. You look at the Big Bar slide just a couple of years ago that almost entirely blocked the Fraser River and caused major implications for wild salmon. You look at the lower Fraser River, like the Fraser Valley, where the flooding we saw last year occurred. And, you know, a lot of the impact that we saw was a result, the impact on ecosystems was a result of development over time that hasn't taken into account the impact on natural systems. So there's a tremendous opportunity there to restore those ecosystems, to rebuild the natural resilience, and it's going to take a serious commitment, probably beyond what's articulated here. The billion-dollar number comes directly from Mr. Zeman's presentation. I think it's based on, if I recall, a $400 million contribution from the province, an equal $400 million contribution from the federal government, and $200 million that would be leveraged from private investors. And, you know, I think this comes back, and I'll look for the chair's indulgence if I just stray down a slight side path here to address one of Mr. Mazur's earlier points about job creation. And I think this is really
the potential of this fund is that if the federal government makes a substantive investment, there's the potential to leverage investment from the private sector, which, you know, when we talk about job creation, when we talk about economic development, leveraging private investment is often an important part of the conversation. So now we're talking about... I've convinced you already? I'm just getting warmed up.
No, your first part of the explanation...
I had you at hello?
Okay. I can withdraw my...
Though bureaucratically cumbersome, the committee debate ended positively. However, there will be some on the committee from Eastern Canadian provinces saying, hey, if BC watersheds get $1 billion, so should Quebec and Ontario. All pointing to the increasing need to help fortify watersheds and habitats against extreme natural weather events and the onslaught of climate change, especially for the critically important Fraser and Skeena watersheds. We spoke with BC Wildlife Federation Executive Director Jesse Zeman about the importance of the fund for BC, why now is the time, and how they can make this all happen sooner rather than later. Stay with us.
Jesse Zeman with the BC Wildlife Federation, and I am currently in the Okanagan.
Great, Jesse. Thanks so much for being with us here on CSK News. Recently, you gave a presentation to a federal committee in Ottawa on environment and sustainability. Part of the presentation was an ask for the federal government to help create a $1 billion fund for watershed security in British Columbia. Jesse, maybe you can tell me a little bit about what that presentation was all about, as well as why are you asking the federal government to create this fund in the first place? Tell us about this watershed security fund.
Yes, yeah, certainly. So the presentation was to a federal committee, and it was specifically around freshwater. And I think the focus was around pollution. But of course, in British Columbia, our freshwater resources are facing a number of threats. I think the outcome quite often is declining fish populations, but the inputs to that are, you know, earlier runoff, faster runoff. We have a number of streams in the province that are literally getting too warm for fish and salmon in the summertime. We have chronic low flow issues. There's risks around invasive quagga and zebra mussels as well. So, you know, I'm sure you're well aware and everyone else is aware. Fish need a good environment to spawn in and to rear in, and we're not living in a world that's consistent with that. And I think at the same time, we also have kind of this long-term defunding of taking care of our natural resources like water, both federally and provincially. And so the idea of the fund is a way to essentially have dedicated funding so that we can go out and do great work on behalf of our watersheds and our fish.
For folks that don't know much about the BC Wildlife Federation, maybe you could give us a quick brief of what do you guys do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So the BC Wildlife Federation is the largest conservation organization in British Columbia. We have 41,000 members and 100 clubs all over the province, including, you know, right in Northwest. I think we have clubs in Terrace, Smithers, Kitimat, Prince Rupert. There's a number of clubs up there. And what do? We do advocacy. So provincial, federal, municipal advocacy, talking about issues related to sustainability of fish, wildlife, and habitat, talking about things like firearms regulation and legislation, i.e. Bill C-21, and then public access to public resources. So that often focuses around hunters and anglers and, you know, the general public who likes to go out recreating and camping. We also do on-the-ground stewardship. We deliver millions of dollars worth of projects for fish habitat, wetland restoration, wildlife research. We're funding a number of graduate students, PhD students, postdoc student, in public institutions here. And then we do a ton of education. We do kids camps, hunter training, wetland training, fish habitat training, a number of different venues in the world of education.
Yeah, great. You know, Jesse, one thing that is curious, you know, obviously this committee deals with, you know, a lot of these issues from across the country, but what do you think makes BC so special that it deserves this kind of attention and this type of fund?
Well, that's a great question. I guess from our perspective, we're all so passionate about it. This idea really spawned from Al Martin probably about a decade ago, and we have a group called the Watershed Security Coalition, and it is made up of everyone from people who care about wetlands to agricultural producers. We have First Nations, we all kind of take the mindset that we all live downstream, and water is kind of a fundamental need for everything that we do and everything that we care about. And so, BC is in a place where we seem to be disproportionately being affected by bad land use management decisions, i.e. how we manage things like logging in our forests and development. And then we're getting hammered pretty hard with climate change. So this is really just a place in time to start thinking about how do we take care of these resources. And one of the things that we keep coming back to is unless we have dedicated funding, we won't have funding. And so when we look at history, the environment is the first thing that gets cut when the economy goes sideways, and it's the last thing that gets funding when the economy bounces back. And as we all know, fish and wildlife can't rely on four-year terms for government. We need consistent, long-term, stable, dedicated funding, and this is a mechanism that helps us get there.
Definitely. One other issue I wanted to bring attention to was obviously there are other funds or other mechanisms that receive federal funds for specific issues like this on, freshwater, on rivers, on lakes. There's currently a federal freshwater action plan that there are, about $70 million, $100 million in that fund as well. But usually this money goes to other places in the country and not necessarily BC. As we talked about earlier, this place, this area, region in BC is quite large, the size of Switzerland, but in terms of the population, it's super small. There's only about 100,000 people in Northwest BC. Now, obviously, this fund is for the whole of BC, but why do you think that BC, in this case, gets shortchanged a little bit? And this isn't just the only issue. You guys advocate on a number of fronts around wildlife restoration. You mentioned there utilizing the resources better and obviously leaving something for the next generation. So tell me a little about your feeling about how BC often gets shortchanged, and if this does move forward and does get some legislation and is creating a billion-dollar fund, what would that mean to the Wildlife Federation?
Yeah, I think there's two things. I think the reality is the further you get from Ottawa, the less important you become. And I say that slightly tongue-in-cheek, but also not. There's a ton of people in places like Ontario and Quebec, and it seems like a lot of the issues that hit rural parts of Canada, where there aren't super high densities of population, are disproportionately affected by kind of this redispersion of funding. And certainly provincially, we've talked about this for a long time. British Columbia is one of the most, it's probably the most poorly funded fish and wildlife jurisdiction in North America, given what we have for wildlife and fish populations, and also, kind of the threat. So we talk about endangered caribou all the time. We talk about endangered interior Fraser steelhead. In your neck of the woods, Skeena steelhead really aren't doing well either. And we don't really have two nickels to rub together to go out and do a good job. So, we really come to the conclusion, and I guess the other piece under that provincially is we've seen a long-term defunding of taking care of fish, wildlife, land and air here in the province. In the 70s, 80s, and even into the 90s, the province, continually set aside about 4 to 5% of the provincial budget to really take care of these things. And I think last year we were down to like 1.14% or something. So I guess the message is, this stuff isn't a priority. I think the other part of it is when you're out of touch with rural British Columbia and what's going on in our, in our water and on our mountains, it becomes less important. And so, quite often we feel like fish and wildlife just simply isn't a priority because, we kind of get dominated by, like I said, places like, Toronto and Montreal and Vancouver. Big cities get a lot of the resources. And so we kind of suffer from this kind of chronic defunding or lack of funding for fish and wildlife.
Yeah, no doubt. And we've heard that before on this show. One other thing I wanted to touch upon, which you mentioned there, was the steelhead. Obviously, this past year could have been a lot worse, but it wasn't. But I know you guys were calling a lot of attention to the fact that the steelhead run on the Skeena was looking pretty dismal this year. It was just above, you know, extreme conservation measures needing to be taken. What do you think that a fund like this would do to help the situation around Skeena steelhead in particular?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we've seen so far as it relates to funding, provincial funding for watersheds, is we have seen a pile of investment in freshwater habitat restoration. And we've seen mechanisms to help, you know, kind of manage flows across the landscape. And I am aware in the Skeena, even up north in your neck of the woods, where we have summers where the water is getting, you know, too warm for fish. You have a pipeline that's going through. There's going to be a whole bunch of outfall from that impact. And so if it's related to fresh water, I mean, the big things really are around habitat restoration and environmental flow needs. Making sure that when fish are in the river and they need water that's cool and they need lots of it, that it's available. And so I think in the Skeena area, there's a whole bunch of spots where there could be some habitat restoration or enhancement, and also keeping our eyes on water flow. I think the other part of that too is really knowing what's going on the landscape and having a better sense of where the impacts are. And I mean, that's part of one of the challenges is when you defund these activities, then you don't know. You can't manage it if you're not measuring it. And I think that in parts of the province, certainly we're suffering from that. Like, there's declines, but we don't have a good finger on the pulse to know why things went wrong and why things are declining. And so, you know, the fund can do a lot of those things for you, but I think the focus really needs to be on changing the outcome. And so as it relates to fresh water, it's really about dealing with habitat.
Yeah, no doubt. Just a couple more things for you, Jesse. One is going forward now that this motion has been passed, it looks like it will be debated upon. Obviously, it will be discussed in committee, but it seems like it's moving forward to approach the federal government to create this fund. Now, obviously, some of the things you mentioned, you know, fires, floods, drought, low water levels, you know, logging that is, you know, clear cut, huge swaths of some of these watersheds that are of particular importance here in Northwest BC, but also across the province, are happening still. And it seems like the time is now, but bureaucracy and the government doesn't really move that fast. So where do we go from here? What's the next step from the BC Wildlife Federation's point of view?
Yeah, our world on this front is really advocacy. And so, you know, this idea really started a decade ago. And as it's grown, the province has put pretty significant resources into making it happen. And kudos to them. Recently, just this last spring, they put $100 million essentially in the bank account. And so our world now is advocacy, both provincially and federally, to try to sow these things up, and working with First Nations in terms of what does it look like. What we'd like to see is $400 million from the province, $400 million from the Government of Canada, and then we believe we can find an additional $200 million from private donors to make this a $1 billion fund. And then there's other, you know, mechanisms as it relates to funding where we can supplement it annually. But this whole world now is going to revolve on advocacy, reaching out to all parties, working with all of them, helping, I guess, the public and elected officials understand what we need to do if we're going to have, you know, steelhead in the Skeena and let people go out and fish them every year. We can't continue to live in these, you know, these times where we're sitting on pins and needles in August looking at the Tyee test fishery every day, hoping for a bump of steelhead. We can't operate in that mindset forever. We got to figure out a way to shift the needle.
All right, great. Jesse, we'll leave it there for now, but very much appreciate your time and your insight on this.
Thanks for your time, Dan. Really appreciate it.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.